Sam Merjofsky has been a talk radio junkie since he was old enough to choose radio over television. Sam Nation breaks down the events of the day and brings you the content nobody else talks about. Sam Nation is not a safe place. It's a perfect intervention of victimhood, focusing on facts, not feelings, politics, and pop culture. Prepared to be triggered. And now, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Where are we going? And why are we in a handbasket of deplorables? That's what I want to know. You know, why are we... I know... Okay, now listen. I know the Democrats have been putting people in categories forever. I mean, it's just... It's what's... This is exactly how it is. Okay, these people over here, those are victims. These people over here, they have money, so we're gonna put our hands deep into their pockets and pull out every last red cent. These people over here, they have a disability. These people over here are black. These people are white. And this is exactly what they have been doing forever, for as long as I can remember. So why are we surprised? Well, it's not because she said it. Because, well, maybe it is. I mean, maybe that's part of it. Because, of course, it's one thing to couch it in niceties. You know, we care. We care about the disabled. We care about the disabled. We care about those minorities over there. We care about this. So it's couched in this language of empathy, right? But now, all of a sudden, this harsh kind of exclusionary rhetoric, not kind of, I mean, it was us, them. Because the part of the quote, and we're going to get to it, I'll parse it through here in a few minutes. I'll get to it. Because what I want to do is I know you've been hearing about it for a few days, but I want to get in the meat of it, because that's what we do here on the program. Let's try to strip back the layers and get right down to it and to the truth, because that's what we care about here. All right, Sam Merjofsky, KBC 790, and we are going straight in to Hillary and this crazy thing. So now I'll tell you, it is a gift, of course, to the Trump campaign. No question about that. And two things. One, it's not only that she said it, but she said it with media present. She said it on the record. I mean, this was for all the closed media events that Hillary's been doing. She finally, and this is where, you know, this is where she's running into trouble right now, because of the whole health scare, and we'll talk about that too. Health issues. You know, she's been determined for the last 4 days to be open and transparent. Because everybody's been on her, right? You got to get out there. You got to be open. You got to be transparent. You got to get the media involved. So all of a sudden, she's talking to the media. She's rolling that orange or lemon, whatever it was, up and down the campaign plane, getting different answers back and forth or whatever the heck that was. But long story short, Hillary's been trying to be more transparent. And I think what's happened here is she's been repeating this line over and over and over again at closed events. And she's gotten so comfortable with it. And all of a sudden, her team says, now go be transparent. And out, they pull out the same tired, liberal BS narrative. And she's saying it. She's so comfortable saying it. Well, that's okay. Before we get any deeper, I'll set the stage here because I want to get to the quote, but I think a lot of it's taken out of context. She's speaking to an LGBT crowd fundraiser. I think, is Barbara Streisand there? I mean, Barbara's there. A bunch of hoity-toity people. They're spending, you know, millions of dollars to fet Hillary Clinton. And she starts giving this talk about how, you know, we have lots to fix, which, of course, is a joke on its face, because everything that Hillary says about discrimination, about all these bad things that are happening, awful Americans, all this discrimination that she needs to fix. And she's tuning this right to the LGBT crowd, right? She's got she's got some people in the audience who are keen to hear how inclusive a Hillary Clinton presidency would be. But at any rate, she says, you know, we've got to work on this and we can't do it alone. I can't do it alone, she says. I'm not like Donald Trump. So now she's going to the whole village. It takes a village. I'm going to be the, you know, the villager, whatever. I'm not going to be like Donald Trump. I alone can fix it. Okay. And then here she says, look, we've got 60 days. We've got 60 days to make our case, meaning it's elections right around the corner. And don't get complacent. Roll the tape.
Don't see the latest outrageous, offensive, inappropriate comment and think, well, he's done this time. We are living in a volatile political environment.
I'll say.
You know, to just be grossly generalistic.
Yeah, please, why don't you do that?
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Ouch!
Right?
No, not quite.
The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Yeah, I'll name it.
And unfortunately, there are people like that.
Are there?
He has lifted them up.
And he has lifted them up. Yeah, and then she goes on to say he's given voice to their websites, you know, and his tweets, and he retweets stuff. I mean, you would think, listening to this, first of all, you'd think that Trump was the biggest bigot ever in the history of time, and I've always talked about it on this program. It's such a lame attack, especially for a guy. If you just please go back and look at how he, you know, his country clubs, and he's one of the first people to include minorities, interestingly enough, this was an LGBT event. First club in, where was it? Palm Beach? That allowed gays to have membership benefits for their partners. This is before, you know, before gay marriage, you know, and even a number of domestic partnership laws. So this is revolutionary. So, you know, Donald Trump, okay, fine. All right. So what's this all about? Again, I'm telling you, look, do you hear? She's got this down to a pitch. One, two, it's loaded in the teleprompter. This woman doesn't do anything without one. So this thing is, it's not just some rehearsed remark. It's not something that she's been saying privately, but that's it. This has been actually put in writing, which I think is one of the best parts about this. They wrote it. They actually thought this is a great idea. If you needed any further proof that the wheels are coming off the Hillary campaign, I am telling you, this kind of tone-deaf stuff is the proof is in the pudding. Or in the basket, or wherever you want to put it. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Hillary and this basket of deplorables comment. And, you know, and again, I'm getting to the point where I'm not necessarily surprised by it. And I don't know, the media, everybody's all up in arms about it. But the fact of the matter is, this is how the Democratic Party has always played. It's always wanting people in categories, and the thing, and it's not too different. Well, that's funny you bring that up. Okay, so the Obama's comment. You know, certain people are always going to cling to their weapons and everything, and guns, and he was talking about the same group. You know, blue collar America. You know, the Rust Belt folks. You know, people who are, you know, Second Amendment guys and gals. But the problem right now is, and I think this is where I want to talk about the Trump ad, because Trump, of course, today launched a new ad, and he put it on blast. It's everywhere. And the ad is just devastating. And the part of it that is devastating, I can't show you on the radio, but I'm going to set the scene. All right, so just bear with me here. I'm going to play the ad, but first let me tell you what happens in it. So, it starts with Hillary giving her comments. Okay, and while her comments are playing, I want you to imagine this, because if you haven't seen the ad, I want you to imagine exactly what's happening. Because what they're showing are a lot of people at Trump rallies. They're showing people at the convention, which I went to. Does that put me in the basket? I think it might. I'm in the basket and I'm proud of it. It's showing people. Oh, and then it shows. Remember when Pence and Trump go to the flooded area in Louisiana, and they arrive there and they just go. They don't do any press, and they just go and deliver some aid and do some community service. So they show a snippet of it, of them basically him and Pence and a bunch of regular blue collar people passing aid back and forth. And all of this with Hillary making her comments. So we have it queued up. Do we have the Trump ad? Okay, let's roll the tape, and here and there I'm just going to talk over it and tell you what's going on. Roll the tape.
Speaking to wealthy donors, Hillary Clinton called tens of millions of Americans deplorable.
Yes,
you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the
and it's showing people who are just
racist,
nice
racist,
people. They're nice looking people.
Xenophobic, Islamophobic.
Yeah, she's going through her list.
People like you, and you.
And now they've got
deplorable.
People in the crowd who are normal looking Americans.
Hillary Clinton viciously demonizing hardworking people like you.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Zing. Guy. I mean, look, Mookie Wookie over there, what's his name? Mook. Anyway, Hillary's campaign. This is just a disaster. He can't. But the thing, they, of course, you're right. Exactly. Robbie's right. They mean it. They mean it. And that's what's so devastating, and that is why this is going to cost her so many votes. And it's not even about the votes, though, because at the root of this, at the root foundation of this whole thing, is that this has been there's a false narrative of inclusion that the Democratic Party is this big tent loving bring everyone together party. And I've always protested this notion and idea, because I see efforts to create victims as a means by which people in the public are pitted against one another, and you pit people against each other. This is what the left does. Certainly, socialism, communism. The first thing they do is they create something, and it's one of the seven deadly sins. What is it? Bonus points, envy, jealousy, avarice, whatever word you want to use for it. That guy has something I don't have. That guy came from somewhere I didn't come from. That guy looks different from me. And he deserves something. I deserve something. There's always some sort of currency that's being exchanged for who deserves what based on their needs, supposedly set by the state. I mean, when conservatism, folks, conservatism, very simple. It's the language of merit. And we, each of us, you and me, we pursue merit. We want to achieve things for ourselves, and then gosh forbid, we also have this thing called responsibility. So we are responsible to make sure that we provide for ourselves, we provide for our family, we get our education done, we do all this stuff. I mean, there's nowhere in this is a language of, hey, that guy's a rich guy, and he needs to pay for you and subsidize you. And hey, you really ought to feel very bad about yourself because you are much more able than that other guy who, I don't know. So this whole basket of deplorables thing is really just a manifestation of this type of thinking. And it's wrong, and it doesn't resonate. And here's the final point here: it doesn't resonate with America, because what she does in it is she excludes these people, all these xenophobes and racists and sexists and everything, excludes them, And that's the thing. You know, you can't just kick all these people out of the country. So, at any rate, I don't know. I guess Hillary has her basket of deplorables. And I wonder. What would it, should it be? Maybe maybe Trump should have a basket of deportables. What do you think about that? Anyway, Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back after this.
Check out samnation.com for show podcasts. Email samnation at info@thesamnation.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and like us on Facebook.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790. KABC.
And we're back. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you live from an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. Yes, proudly in the basket of deplorables. Yeah, so where does Hillary's health fall in all of this too? I think that's a nice dovetail, because really everybody's talking about Hillary's horrible 48 hours. And I'm telling you, it's all interconnected, and let me parse it out for you here. So if you're just tuning in, we were talking about the basket of deplorables comment, and my simple conclusion on it is that this is what liberals do. They put people in categories, and they're perfectly willing to write people off, especially if they're not victims, if they're not part of a special group that need their protections nor want their protections. So it is what it is. But here's the thing. So Hillary is, so as you know, went to the September 11th memorial, and well, one, I've heard from people that were there, I've heard that she came late. So that's the news. I haven't seen it really reported anywhere, but she came late, comes during the moment of silence. And then what happens is has to leave early. And if you remember the evolution of how the time went, Hillary is there. Then people say, OK, she leaves without her press pool. She's gone. She looked unsteady, and they dismissed it. Right? They said that she just had a little bit of, was feeling faint, was overheated, even though it was a relatively temperate day. And then the video surfaces, and it was not good. I mean, I'm telling you, you must have seen the video, and we'll of course put it up on the website here, samnation.com. Make sure that if you haven't seen it, you can find it there. But to call her wobbly, I mean, yeah, no, it was bad. I mean, it was bad. A shoe came off, a bracelet or some metal object fell, and they had to basically lift her and put her into the car and drive off. Now, what do you make of this? What is it? It's the secrecy. It's the woman is so obsessed with secrecy and keeping things close to the vest. This is her undoing. This is exactly it. So people are asking me, what of this? So what of the health thing? And I'm telling you, well, first of all, I hope that she's fine. I'm with Trump on this. I hope she's fine. I don't want to see her replaced. She literally is the best possible candidate that Trump can run against. I mean, the best possible one. I don't want her to get sick. I don't want her eliminated from the race. I don't. Who would come in? Biden? Kane? I don't know. I mean, we don't want that. Trust me, we don't want that. So what does it come to? And she's not going to be out of the race. I mean, she's probably not, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit too, but probably not gravely ill. She's going to stay the course. And so what's the issue here? Well, it's the same, I'm telling you, it's the same thing that's driving the email scandal, is it not? I want to keep my emails away from the public. I want to do this over here. I want to communicate with these donors. I want to communicate with these special interests. I want to keep everything away from everybody. I want to hide. I want to sneak around. And that's it. You know, The protocol, if you've got a major party candidate like this, and a protectee of the Secret Service, the protocol here is to take them, if they start to faint, to take them to a level one trauma center. That's protocol. Instead, her team steps in and wants her driven to the house, and there's a reason for it, because they want to hide from the public. So I'm going to tell you what this means and how this is going to play out from here to the end of the race, because I think Hillary's going to have to address this. She is. And I'll tell you what in her mind, in her team's mind, coming clean is all about. And it's not what they ought to be doing. They ought to take this. They're gonna screw it up. I guarantee it. And I'll tell you why when we come back. All right. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
It's supposed to rain? Now they tell me. I just freaking washed my car. It's Murphy's Law. I'm telling you. If you ever... This is what we need. I have a solution. Hear me out. I have a solution for the drought. Just send me some car wash coupons, and I'll wash my car every day. That's it. It's guaranteed. Does that happen to you? Anyway. You know why I'll tell you why Hillary didn't want to go to the ER. Well, if I was the driver of that van, I would have dropped her off at the VA. That's what I would have done. No, you know, nothing's private under Obamacare. I mean, you know, now your health records are, the latest and greatest thing is that they steal your health information. You know, that's what they do. I can see why she doesn't want to go to the ER. I don't want to go there either, because now everything has to be digitalized. Have you been to the doctor lately where you have to, you know, you tell him, hey, I've got this. He starts typing away and it's going into a computer. If that doesn't, does that scare you? Just a little bit? Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, that actually happens too. You know, I was just talking to Sweet James, who, by the way, is a terrific attorney and really does care about people. And this is what he was telling me. He was so upset because he had a client call him who said that they had left the hospital. They'd had a traumatic injury. They left the hospital and immediately got contacted by an attorney. And the attorney, I guess, was able to access their health information right through some portal. I guess they had a guy on the inside or whatever it was. But now everything's centralized. It's easy to get to you. Just, yeah, a bunch of people have the password and they can get all that information. So, yeah, they had somebody come up to them and say, hey, they had a clipboard. They had all of their stuff, social security number. They said, hey, you got to sign up. You got to sign up. You're going to need help. And that person was like, no, I'm going to pick my lawyer. Get out of here. And that's what you ought to do. And the lawyer you ought to pick is James Bergner. Let me tell you about him. He's an experienced, serious guy, but his friends call him Sweet James, and you'll know why when you meet him. There are lots of personal injury firms out there, but there's only one that really cares. He lives by the golden rule. You always treat others the way you want to be treated. But he, you know, I'll tell you, he brings the fight to the insurance companies and makes it happen. So, call Sweet James if you've had a personal injury accident, car accident, wrongful death, scooter accident, dog bite, whatever it is. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Now, let's do this. We've got Yeah, I'm telling you, Hillary didn't want to go to the ER. She didn't want to go to the ER. She goes, whatever, she does, follows this. And in my mind, the thing, the imagery that comes into play is Kim Jong-il. Now, you remember Kim Jong-il, right? And it was ill with I-L, not I-L-L. You know that there were different people in the CIA, and this was the dad of the current North Korean dictator. You know that there was this whole theory that he'd actually died in 2003 when, you know, his official death was reported sometime in late 2011. Yeah, you know, he had three or four different stunt doubles, people that looked like him, dressed like him and everything, that he would use because he was so afraid of getting assassinated. So he'd send them out for rallies. So, no, that's exactly what he did. And so they did, you know, people record these events. They record the rallies and would use the speech patterns, and they would, you know, like they do on Narcos, they would evaluate the speech pattern, and they would determine that the guy that was talking wasn't really Kim Jong-il. It was some completely different voice. Which is great, because I think Hillary ought to do the same thing, given that, well, she needs a stunt double. That's what she needs. And, you know, when I saw her at the 9/11 memorial, I thought, you know, she could, you know, like, she looked like Sissy Spacek in Bloodline, you know, with those little glasses. I mean, it was spot on. No, really? Are you guys don't? Yeah, well, that's what she needs. She needs a stump double. And and so when we get back, let me tell you, this is how it's going to play out. And I'm going to tell you, she might be sick, but is she woke? And if you don't know what that means, tune in a minute. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation, because apparently he's right. And the rest of everyone is wrong.
See, now Jillian has a body double too. See what I'm talking about? It's a thing. All right, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you live from deep within Orange County, behind the Orange Curtain. That's right, an LA talk show from Orange County. How novel. Talking to, well, yeah, like the Angels, right, of Anaheim, of Los Angeles, or is it the other way around? So we're talking about Wobbles Clinton, a.k.a. Hillary. What a bit of vindication. You know, I'd like to put in a little plug for our own Dr. Drew. Well, he was the first one to really credibly address this, wasn't he? And then, of course, well, things happened. Are we allowed to talk about it? I don't know. But things happened. And suddenly someone didn't have a show on CNN. Okay. Now, of course, we're all led to believe that nothing had anything to do with the other. But then there were some whisperings. There are some whisperings. And to clarify, you know, this is not from Dr. Drew or anybody in his immediate circle or official circle, at least. But there were whisperings that people who were involved had heard, and this was a few weeks back, had heard that this was, or had witnessed that the Clinton camp was going, or no, yeah, the Clinton camp was pressuring CNN. CNN was pressuring Dr. Drew to retract his comments and da 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 da. So whether it's true or not, no one knows. But it would follow the general pattern that the Clintons have always employed, has it not? They've always been obsessed with secrecy. They've always been obsessed with being, well, keeping everything to themselves and being very protective of their privacy, even when that privacy, they try to extend it to matters of state, to matters, to official business, and obviously to hide, I think, wrongdoing. So, well, it's not very woke of them, is it? Well, more about that in a minute. So what it is? What is it? You know, I was joking that Kim Jong-il, you know, was dead for 7 years, maybe, before anybody realized it. Don't we want a transparent government? Isn't that what people wanted from Obama? I don't get it. I think there's got to be a lot of really depressed people on the left, because the left always screams for transparency. They want transparency. They want open doors. They want, you know, they want the White House to be, you know, to be like one giant public library where you can walk off with anything you want, like the Clintons did when they moved out. Anyway, you want, people want that. I mean, that's the big thing. And that's what Obama promised. And it was one of the great disappointments, was it not, of his presidency? And so our friends on the left now have a candidate who is the most, non-transparent candidate ever. And the minute that she gets sick or has any issue like this, she drops her pool reporters and bails on them and runs not to a hospital, but rather to her daughter's apartment, which seems like an oddly suspicious place to cure pneumonia. So, wokeness and how this all fits in. Have you heard about this Lena Dunham thing? Well, you know, Lena Dunham goes to the Met. There's some Met Gala there that's big fundraiser. She goes to the Met Gala and she gets, well, what happens? She gets seated at a table with Odell Beckham Jr. Well, you haven't heard of this? Yeah, no, she's, you know, he's the New York Giants star receiver and he's there at the table and it's Lena. And if you don't know Lena, I mean, this is the fake rape controversy girl, you know? I mean, I know you probably don't watch the show. Is it Girls? Is that the one? Okay. I've never seen it. But everything that comes out of Lena Dunham's mouth is basically odious. It is. You know, and she's just this leftist crazy person. And one of the leading voices of really truly radical liberalism. I mean, she's always one she knows, I'll tell you this, she knows what basket I'm in. So what do we got? So Lena Dunham, nobody would ever accuse her in any way, shape, or form of being anything but the very pinnacle, the very creme de la creme of politically correct think. And yet, that is exactly where she got herself the other day, is at the wrong end of leftist thinking. And how? Well, apparently it all had to do with how she was being talked about, how she was, when she was sitting with Odell Beckham Jr., what happened when she was, what she thought he was thinking. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you what she thought he was thinking and how that got her into some very deep trouble. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Check out samnation.com for show podcasts. Email samnation at info@thesamnation.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and like us on Facebook.
And we're back. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And is Hillary woke? Let me tell you what I mean by that. So woke, apparently, is this term. It's for a person who is aware of and fighting against systematic racism. It's a new word. It's just been added to dictionary.com. So I guess that makes it official or real or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, and would people that are woke, are they wokies? Is that what they are? Well, anyway, here is how Lena Dunham, politically correct goddess, ran amok of the woke crowd. What did she say? Well, she was at this dinner here, and Odell Beckham Jr. was at her table. And here's what she said about it. It was so amazing because he looked at me and he determined I was not in the shape of a woman by his standards. Well, I could add me to that list, Dunham said. He was like, that's a marshmallow. That's a child. That's a dog. What the heck is she saying? You know, yeah, she's wearing a tuxedo, by the way. So she looks like a chubby kid who's working at Haunted Mansion, okay? At any rate, he was like, that's a marshmallow, da-da-da. This should be called the Metropolitan Museum of Getting Rejected by Athletes. Now, of course, it's a totally narcissistic comment, whatever. She's poking fun. But now the liberals turned against her. And they accused her that there was a subtextual thought crimes. Subtextual thought crimes. I guess, you know, Odell Beckham is a guy who comes from a certain past and is going to look at women a certain way. And you can't say that because he's black. Well, subtextual thought crimes. I want to know when Hillary puts me in a handbasket. What is it? Handbasket? Basket of deplorables? And accuses us of racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic thought, and you name it, she adds that. Is that just really accusing us of subtextual thought crimes? I think so. Totally unwoke. All right, that's it. Back here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Hope you've had fun. I have. And this is Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.